first of all, he cursed the serpent, and embedded in the curse on the serpent was that there would be enmity between the serpent and the seed of the serpent and the woman and her seed. But the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. And in that promise, if you will, that prophecy given, and I think it was the Lord himself in his pre-incarnate form, speaking about his own birth and death and destruction of death. And that's what he did on the cross. He destroyed the power of death for every believer. And if you're a believer here tonight, you might taste physical death. And if the Lord tarries long enough, we all will. But we'll never taste physical death. We'll never die because Jesus died for us. And that promise was given, but then it was 4,000 years at least until that promise was fulfilled. And the seed of the woman, the beginning of Jesus as a man, he had always been God the Son, but in a moment in time, the Holy Spirit placed some male DNA together with an egg in Mary's womb, and Jesus began as a man. Always been God, but began as a man. And he'll always be a man forever. He began to be a man at a certain point in time, but never stop. Raised from the dead. Seated at the right hand of the Father. Waiting for the Father to give the signal. First, I believe, to come and get the bride, the church. The dead in Christ rise first, and then all who are alive. It could happen tonight. Wouldn't that be something to get raptured? On Christmas Eve? Or maybe in the middle of it? No one knows when that time will come. And then to come and rule, to rule on the earth. Because we're right in the middle of the Christmas promise. When Gabriel spoke to Joseph and also to Mary and gave the prophecy that Mary's son would be the Savior of the world, the promise was given that he would rule on the throne of David. And that hasn't happened yet. Jesus fulfilled half of the prophecies in his first coming and became the Savior of the world by dying for our sins. But he's not yet sat on the throne of David to rule the world with righteous authority and to enforce righteous peace. We've got anything but that in this world today. But for everyone who trusts Christ as their Savior, divine peace comes to rule in our hearts and in our minds. I'm going to read the Christmas story, why we're here to celebrate on this particular time. Although it's interesting, as you read the commentaries, and some of them have some good things to say, and some of them make me scratch my head. Most of them agree that Jesus probably wasn't born in December, on December 25th. And the reason they say that is that the shepherds were in the field still, and they probably wouldn't be on December. That he's more likely conceived on December 25th than born on December 25th. But nobody knows exactly when he was conceived or what date on the calendar he was born. We celebrate it. We celebrate it here and now. Tonight. Well, we celebrate something that happened that is historical. It happened on a certain point in time. And it changed everything. It changed the world. And the best is yet to come. But it started on a night that, you know, probably was like so many other nights. Didn't seem to be out of the ordinary. And there was this young mother giving birth in a stable of all places to her firstborn son. And she knew he was the Christ child. And her husband knew it was the Christ child. And a very few other people knew. But there's no record of Elizabeth being there. Elizabeth knew. Zacharias knew. Maybe some of Mary's other family members knew or wondered. But a very, very, just maybe even a handful of people actually knew from the Holy Spirit. And then sometime after that, whether it was the same hour or an hour or two later, the heavens opened up. And I think I think heaven emptied. I can't imagine any of the holy angels stayed in heaven while some of them came to Bethlehem. I think heaven emptied completely of all the holy angels. I think the Father stayed just to watch it all from his vantage point. But had the heavens opened up and the angels appeared to shepherds, which, if you know a little bit about the social strata of the day, the shepherds were like, you know, not exactly the most prestigious profession, way down on the food chain. And yet they were God's choice to have the angels appear and give the best announcement that had ever been heard on the planet up until that moment in time, and nothing like it since. But we'll read from Luke's gospel, beginning at the second chapter. And at the first verse, it says, "It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So this Roman emperor decided he wanted some more tax money, and he wanted to make sure everybody paid their fair share. And he issued a decree that everyone had to go and register. So everyone was, there was a record. And that once they registered, then they had to pay their taxes, and he could put it in his coffer. And it's interesting that that's what God used to make sure that the Christ child would be born in Bethlehem. Now, we know that Mary and Joseph, they were religious Jews. They probably had read the prophecies of Micah, chapter 5 and verse 2. They probably knew that the child had to be born in Bethlehem. They might have gone to Bethlehem with or without this decree. We don't know. In fact, the more I read this, the more questions I have. God gives us just the information that we need. And for us to believe the Bible, to believe what he's given us, makes the difference of eternal life. And then to ponder all the questions only causes us to look forward more to meeting him, because we're all going to see the Lord. And he's not going to appear again as a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, not a little cutesy thing. He was. That was a certain point. It was the will of the Father and the Son together. They decided that the Son would experience the human experience completely, from conception through birth, living in a kind of an, first of all, evading a king that wanted to kill him, fleeing to Egypt, then coming back and being raised in Nazareth, kind of a nowhere place up in northern Israel in Galilee. But then to have his ministry, 3 years of ministry, where he would give the good news, give the gospel, work miracles and healing and even raising the dead, and then die for the sins of the world. But God made sure that he would be born in Bethlehem according to the scriptures, that every prophecy will be fulfilled. About 2/3 of the prophecies in this book have been fulfilled already. Approximately 1/3 of them were fulfilled in the conception, the birth, the life, and the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His earthly life fulfilled his about 1/3 of the scriptures. And there's 1/3 left to be fulfilled. At his second coming, the last days of human history as we know it, the great tribulation, the second coming of Christ, the final judgment and the new heavens and the new earth, that's all yet to happen. But if you go to the laws of probabilities and see that 2/3 of them have been fulfilled so precisely that this baby was born in Bethlehem, and all of the way he died with his hands and his feet being pierced, all of it in the Old Testament scriptures, so many details fulfilled. The law of probabilities says it's absolutely certain that the last 1/3 of the prophecies will be fulfilled. The trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. And then if we're alive, will immediately follow in the twinkling of an eye. And not long after that, Jesus will come back to rule this world that he created. That when he died on that Roman cross, not only did his blood provide the purchase price for our souls, it also paid for the right to rule on the planet that basically Satan usurped. That right was given to Adam and Eve, and they lost it. They were scammed out of it, if you will. And Satan is a usurper that's been a usurper. You wonder why the world's such a mess? Well, put the blame where it belongs. The devil is still roaming about, but not for too much longer. He'll have his day, and it'll come to an end abruptly. But Joseph, and I ponder often as we, in this season, we've looked at Mary receiving the news from the angel and agreeing, yes, I will bear the Christ child. Yes, I'm a virgin. Maybe not thinking it all the way through, but then realizing, well, how do we tell Joseph this? How's this all? The details, God worked them all out. And Joseph, God actually tested him. We took some time to actually look into that, how Joseph was tested and passed the test. And he took Mary as his wife and gave her the protection of his name. And I think he took Mary into his home, but kept her virginity because he knew the prophecies had to be fulfilled. So she had the honor of being his wife in his home, and yet she kept her virginity until her firstborn. And then when it was time for them to go to Bethlehem to be registered so they could pay their taxes, you know, we don't know whether they went there in her 7th month, 8th month, or 9th month of pregnancy. It's usually assumed that it was maybe sometime during the 9th month that she was full term. But it was a 100-mile journey to go from Nazareth down to Bethlehem, which is about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. And, you know, it's assumed that she rode a donkey. We don't really know. That information's not given. Whether she made it on foot, I hope she wasn't all full 9 months pregnant if she had to make a 100-mile journey on foot. That'd be a little bit uncomfortable. Hope she had a donkey. We'll find out. Or maybe it was a couple months earlier. They knew they had to go there. The emperor had decreed it. It was kind of convenient for them to get out of Nazareth just in case people started putting things together like Mary's showing, but you've only been married just so. But they avoided all that by going to Bethlehem before she gave birth. But verse 6 says, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, and that makes us wonder, like, how did they manage that? Were they fine with that? I can't help but think that Joseph would have thought, really, I wish I could do better for you, Mary, but you know what? There's no room in the inn. The people with all the money have got all the rooms. Probably the price is spiked because the population swelled for this registration and taxation, and that was the best he could do. I'd like to think that Mary was like, it's perfect, it's fine. God's got everything under control. It's warm enough in here. We've got what we need. And, you know, we don't know whether Joseph delivered the baby. I'd like to think that maybe there was, you know, they found a midwife or some woman that had some experience with childbirth. Mary had none. There's no indication that Joseph had any experience with delivering children. But maybe he did. We don't know. We don't know if there was anybody else in the stable with him. It's kind of, do we really think that they were the only ones in the stable if housing was that short? They might have been half a dozen or maybe a dozen or more people in the stable. Maybe there was someone there that could help Mary and Joseph with the childbirth. We don't have that information. We'll get it because we're going to see Jesus. We're going to get all our questions answered. But we know this, part of God's purpose for organizing it so that his son, his only begotten son, would be born in that humble stable, which was probably a cave. You know, all of the nativity scenes show like a barn, but it was probably a cave. But there was a reason for it, because he wanted the shepherds to be the first to know, the ones to get the birth announcement. And he wanted the shepherds to go and find this baby wrapped in swaddling cloths in a manger. If he's in the inn, that doesn't happen. First of all, the shepherds wouldn't be allowed in there at all. But Jesus had to be born in a place where the shepherds could go and find him and be the first ones to declare the Savior is born. Mary wasn't shouting it out. Joseph wasn't going around town saying, "Hey, my son, he's the Savior." No, no. Mary, she pondered it all in her heart. Joseph was there to offer protection and provision to the best of his ability, be the father to the Christ child, the earthly stepfather. But the shepherds would be the one to say, "We saw the angels, tons of them, millions of them. And they said, this is the Savior who was born. We found it just like they said. We went and we looked and we found the baby in the manger. It's the Christ child." And that was the plan of God, that the shepherds would be the ones to first declare. Mary and Joseph, I think they went from being like just one of the crowd to probably being celebrities in Bethlehem. Once the shepherds got done telling their story, we know this, that eventually Joseph and Mary were in a house in Bethlehem a year or 2 years later when the wise men showed up. They didn't show up on the night Christ was born, by the way. Sorry if you're still in like Christmas card land on these facts. Just so you know, when the wise men showed up, it was at least a year after he was born, and maybe two, somewhere in between a year and two. Jesus was no longer an infant. He was a toddler when the wise men showed. How many months they traveled to get there, we don't know exactly, only that they followed a star. But what it says, that she brought her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, for there was no room in the inn. But verse 8 says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Now, it doesn't actually say that the angel sang, but kind of like we believe that. It's kind of the folklore around this story. It doesn't actually say the angels sang. They may have just said it all in unison with angelic voices. I believe angels do sing, and I believe we're going to hear them sing in heaven and maybe join their chorus. And maybe my voice will be a little better, hopefully. But so I've heard some people say they swear they've heard angels sing already. They've been in church services where they've heard angels singing. I haven't heard them yet. Not that I know of. But I believe we will. But they heard the angels declare this: "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." Now, the truth of the matter is, there hasn't been a lot of peace on the earth among men. But there is peace for everyone that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ that comes from God. And he is the goodwill towards us that he would send his only son so we can have peace with God, so we could know our sins are forgiven, so that we could know that we're going to be with him someday when this life is over. It really will just begin. Verse 15, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. So the shepherds realized, well, the reason the angels came and told us this is because we're supposed to go and find the baby. The angel said, you will find him. So we got to go find him. So they ran, they went into town. Maybe they were a mile or two out of town. They went into town. It doesn't tell us how many stables they went into before they found a baby lying in the manger. I'd like to think that Jesus was probably the only baby lying in a manger in Bethlehem that night. I don't think there was going to be any mistakes made there. Whether it was whether God somehow arranged the very first stable they went into, there it is, baby, manger, this is it. Or whether they had to look through two or three, oh, no baby here, no baby, we don't know. But they went looking. They knew they were going to find it, so they went looking. A lot of people are not so concerned with their soul, their destiny. They're just living their life like, nearsighted, spiritual magoos. Anyways, anybody here, don't answer that question. Sometimes I identify with Mr. Magoo. But anyways, spiritually, you don't want to be a magoo. If you haven't found it yet, then it's time to keep searching. Time to start looking. Find out. I've challenged one of my extended family members who's a physicist. He's got his doctorate, PhD. Smart guy. Good guy. Like him a lot. He's not yet a believer. I've said his name before. It doesn't really matter. I said, answer this one question. You get this answer right, and everything else will start to come clear. Did Jesus rise from the dead? Did he or did he not? Find out. He hasn't found out. I said, and every time I see him now, I say, got it figured out yet? You're a smart guy. Figure it out. Because if you get that right, and then you do the right thing with it, you end up with eternal life. You end up with a Savior. He came to be the Savior of the world. He doesn't force himself on anyone, but those that seek him will find him. The shepherds were the first one to go around Bethlehem announcing, hey, the Savior's been born, Christ the Lord. He's a little baby now, but he's the one, the promised one. And the Jews were looking for Messiah. They'd been looking for him. They knew he had to be the son of David, and he was descended through both Joseph and Mary were from David's bloodline. They were both descended from two different sons of David. And the shepherds began telling everyone all around Bethlehem, oh, that's the Christ child right there. That's why I say, I think all of a sudden Mary and Joseph, I'd like to think maybe some of the wealthy believers in town or maybe even some modest ones said, hey, we got a room for you. You don't have to be in the stable any longer. Bring your baby. Come on. We got an extra room for you guys. You want to bring the Christ child into my home? Any ones that were really looking for Messiah and believed the report of the shepherds. Some might have dismissed the report of the shepherds. Just shepherds. What do they know? But some of them probably knew the shepherds. The guy's not a liar. Maybe a shepherd, but he's not a liar. And there were enough of them that said, yeah, no, we all saw it. We all heard it. The angel and the angels. And the gospel began. It says, all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. We do well to do both. Share the gospel and ponder it in our heart. Verse 20, we'll close with this last verse. It says, then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And that's the result, really, of coming to faith in Jesus Christ. We go through the rest of our life giving glory to God and praising him honoring the one that he has sent in his word. We'll close with a prayer. I know many of you are believers here. Some of you I don't know, but I'm glad you came tonight. And we'll close with a prayer. If you've not yet received Christ as your Savior, you can do that in your own heart and your own mind. You can pray, "Dear Jesus, thank you for paying for my sins with your blood on your cross. I do receive you as my Savior by faith right now. Please come and live within me through your Holy Spirit. Please give me the gift of everlasting life and make me a child of God. Amen." Amen. If you've prayed that for the very first time, please tell someone before you leave here tonight. Me, if you can, or someone else, whoever you came with, tell someone that you prayed to receive Christ tonight. Is this, it looks like we're going out on the internet as well. If you're watching on the internet tonight and you've prayed to receive Christ, I would love to give you a New Testament, be our gift to you. You'll have to contact us, email us, or call us with your name and address, and we will mail you a New Testament, our gift to you. And I believe we have a couple of announcements and a song to sing.